Welcome back to the Born to Ball podcast, guys. As always, I'm your host, Kenny G, and today we're going to recap a weekend of football from college football to NFL Sunday. We'll look over some failed FanDuel tickets, look into Monday Night Football, MLB talk finally, and we'll give a three-word sentence to predict every team's season in the NFL. But man, let's kick it off with some NFL for sure. First, man, we got to, I got to get the Chiefs and Bengals out the way. I don't have words to describe the game, man. I'm glad we won. I'm really happy we won. But the offensive performance and the play calling by Andy Reid really just sent me in for one yesterday, dude. The left tackle play from Kingsley, the lack of separations from everybody not named Rashee Rice, man. But let's really get into it. Defensively, for the Bengals and Chiefs, I think both teams did their job well. I think both the defensive coordinators, my guy Lou and Spags, dog, they're really good at what they do, man. And they can limit Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes equally, and they're really well at it. They got the guys that can fit their system well, and it's good to see as a guy that likes defenses. But for the Chiefs offensively, man, I thought it was one of the worst performances I've seen in a minute, and it reminded me of what they looked like last year. I think the worst part of it was the fact that I think Travis Kelce is a worse threat than he was last year, and our left tackle play is a lot worse than what it was. I know Kingsley is a rookie, this and that, but flat out, he does need to perform better. I know he played against one of the best DNs in the league. Trey Hendrickson just flat out dominated, man. If it was Kingsley or Wayne and Morris, regardless of who was playing left tackle, they were going to get dominated, man, and that's not a good sign, man. Patrick Mahomes needs more time in the pocket, but for speaking about Mahomes, it's week two. He needs 3 turnovers in the first 2 weeks, and I think that is embarrassing for his standards. We all know what Patrick Mahomes was like in September years prior. There was a point where he threw 40-plus touchdowns and 0 interceptions in September. He was known as Mr. September. This was his month that he dominated. So when people out here talking about, yeah, it's week two, we just got to be patient, this and that, Patrick Mahomes has to perform better. Travis Kelce has to get open. Xavier Worthy needs to create separation for himself. Everybody but Rashee Rice and the interior O-line Isaiah Pacheco have not been good, in my opinion. I think Jawan Taylor's been okay. Kingsley's been embarrassed. Patrick Mahomes has been mediocre. Travis Kelce's been bad. Xavier Worthy and the rest of those receiving corps outside of receiver Rashee Rice, they haven't been good, in my opinion. So, next week, as Isaiah Pacheco's most likely going to hit IR, who knows, might not play for the rest of the season, Carson Steele or Samaje Perine will get a lot of snaps as we play the Falcons on the road on Sunday Night Football. I think there's a good chance we lose that game, man. Often, like, the passing game needs to show up. I don't think you can go through another year where we're sitting here by week 8, the trade deadline, and nobody other than Rashee Rice can get open. I believe Travis Kelce can wake up, but as of now, it still seems like he's on the errors toward Taylor Swift. I'm messing up my words because how frustrated I am. I watched that game, and I wasn't happy that when Harrison Butker hit the game-winning field goal, because we should have, like last week, when we beat the Ravens, we should have won by multiple touchdowns, but offensively, we couldn't execute to do that, and you're not going to win a lot of games this year with Isaiah Pacheco and Marquise Hollywood Brown. You're not going to win a lot of games if this current core can't execute. Patrick Mahomes needs to be better, and play calling needs to be better. Speaking of play calling Andy Reid, I thought he coached a bad game. He ran the ball well, and that is good for sure, but Pat in the red zone and the way passing plays were getting called, I thought it was terrible, especially in the red zone, man. You went for it earlier on the first drive at 4th-and-1, and you got it. You had another chance to go for 4th-and-1 inside the 5, and you don't do it. Today, I heard on the radio, he's talking about, I feel like we just needed points there, dude. Andy Reid has done this ever since he's been in Kansas City, where he will just pussy up for no reason. You have the talent to just get 1 yard. At that point, we could have got 1 yard, had a touchdown, but I mean, yes, we still won. But in the future, that could easily come to bite us in the ass, and it nearly did. If it wasn't for the Bengals DB just losing his mind and running into Rashid's back like he was trying to fuck him or something, we would have been cooked. We would have lost that game, and that would have been one of the moments we look back on, just like the 2 interceptions Patrick Mahomes threw and the countless sacks Kingsley gave up. But this team has to perform better. I don't know what you're going to do if we're sitting there by week 6 and Xavier Worthy still can't create. Justin Watson, Juju, McColl, Scott just being average as ever. Travis Kelce, Noah Gray, both can't get open in the tight end spot, and Isaiah Pacheco's out. What if Carson Steele can't really replicate what Isaiah Pacheco brings, and we're sitting here barely being able to run the ball, and nobody can get open? You're going to have to make a trade. You have a three-peat on the line. I don't care if we're that team that elevates in January. As of now, in September, we are mediocre at best on offense. And the only reason we are doing good is because of Rashee Rice and Isaiah Pacheco. Those are the best two players on offense right now, followed up by the interior O-line. Outside of that, Patrick Mahomes hasn't been a top five offensive player on this team. He's been mediocre. We all know the standards we have for him. We've seen his MVP years. We've seen him at his best. And this is even nowhere close, dude. For somebody that was known as Mr. September, who was nearly flawless in September in years past, he's been terrible in back-to-back weeks, in my opinion. Yes, he played two good defenses, but I don't care, man. I've seen him play great defenses, and he has teared them up. There's no excuse for just dumb turnovers. Like, the turnover versus Roquan, I mean, when he threw it to Roquan, I mean, yes, he got pressured, but still, there's other ways. I don't care. Cam Taylor-Britt pick was one of the worst I think I've ever seen him throw, because he's Worthy is locked up. Worthy has an inch or two away. He's an inch or two away from being on the sideline, man. And you're still throwing it up. Like, it's either incomplete or an interception, and it was the latter. It was an interception. I thought that was just a boneheaded pick, and the first interception he got baited into so bad by the Bengals linebacker. And I don't know, dude. Patrick has to play better. Next week on Sunday Night Football on the road, Isaiah Pacheco out. He's going to have to step up, because there might not be the same running game to depend on. Who knows if Carson Steele can really replicate what Isaiah Pacheco brings. He very well could, or he very well couldn't. But outside of that, running game or not, this passing game needs to perform well, because eventually teams are going to stop the run. So what are we going to do when we need to pass the ball? What are the tackles going to do when we need a pass block? What is Kelce going to need to do when we need a first down? He had a good 4th and 6 catch, but unfortunately got called back because of Morris's hands to the face, which he got a touchdown yesterday. I mean, cool, trickery, I don't care. I just think we need to perform better if we want a 3-peat, man. Teams are going to catch up to us. The Raiders and Chargers are looking like they can give us fits. If that's 4 games that you could have fits for, man, it's going to be bad if offensively we can't turn up. I've seen this offense at a high standard. I've seen last year when we were dog doo-doo butt water. There's no excuse for that no more, man. I know Hollywood was a big piece of that, and he changed the trajectory when he went out. And same thing with Isaiah Pacheco being out. Like, we were projected to be this, and now we're not. And I know that's unfortunate, but still, there's no excuse for guys like Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes not performing at a high level. Because what is your excuse, man? You're in, what? Kelce's in year 11? Patrick Mahomes in 7 or 8? Dude, there is no excuse for playing bad. And these two need to step up. If they can't step up, it's going to be spooky. We very well could lose next week. And guess who the Falcons' starting safety is? It's Justin Simmons, the guy who picks Mahomes off nearly every game when we played against him. Who's to say he doesn't get a game-sealing interception when Mahomes just goes brain dead at some point of the game? Because it's a weekly thing, Mahomes, where he'll go brain dead. I love the guy more than you think you do, but he just needs to perform better. Kelce, he needs a big week, dude. He needs to get something started. I can't do another 5-week, a 5-catch, 50-yard thing. I can't do that, man. And forgive me, I'm slurring words, I'm messing it up just because how frustrated I am out. And I'm just trying to talk fast because I don't want to sit here and talk your ear off in a slow-paced voice about the Chiefs that you already seen yesterday. As for the defense, the problems I think we are struggling with, man, is covering the middle of the field, dude. Willie Gay is being missed very bad, man. MIZ, all love to Nick Bolton, but dog, I mean, he has to perform better. Somebody has to guard a tight end. Yesterday, I think they had what? All tight ends had over 100. They didn't all have 100 yards individually, but as a whole, they had 100 yards over. They were over 100 yards. Isaiah Likely the week before had 111. Next week, you play Kyle Pitts. I'm not saying Kyle Pitts is some all-good guy, but considering what the Bengals tight ends just did to you, I would be worried that Kyle Pitts has an all-time game and a career-high game against us because we can't guard a tight end. It's just embarrassing, but in good positive news, your pass rush looked good. Chris Jones, GK, Trent McDuffie had Jamar on locks. I mean, Jamari Connors looked good. Josh Williams needs to perform better. But outside of that, man, you know, those are just my biggest complaints. It's the fact you can't guard a tight end and that this offense has not looked a lick different than from last year. Granted, you are missing Hollywood Brown, and now you're going to be missing Pacheco. So, yeah, you could have two excuses lined up, but that's no excuse, man. At the end of the day, if we're sitting here at the trade deadline, and there's no improvement, we have to make a trade. Either if it's left tackle that's killing us that much, then we have to go get a left tackle. If it's a lack of separation and people getting open for Mahomes, then you have to go get a receiver. I don't care about any day one or day two picks. There's a three-peat on the line. There's history on the line. You're not going to care about that 32nd overall pick if you have a three-peat. So all I'm saying is Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and everybody not named Rashee Rice in the receiver room needs to step up next week versus the Falcons. Rashee's going to have a tough task. Got Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, and AJ Terrell, who mainly are probably going to focus on him. Xavier Worthy's knee is going to be over the top. Justin Watson, Sky Moore, McColl, Juju, all these guys have to do something next week if we want to win. Because Rashee's going to have all eyes on him. So hopefully that means Travis Kelce can get open. Who knows? We just need everybody not named Rashee Rice in the receiving game to step up, because they haven't yet. All right, guys. Like I said, I apologize for me talking sloppy, this and that, man. I'm just very passionate. And, you know, I'm not the best at always pronouncing words, but yeah, it's unfortunate. Let's move on to other Sunday games. Ravens versus the Raiders, which was upset of the week. I had the Ravens winning this one easily, but I guess not. Defensive Player of the Year candidate Max Crosby had himself maybe a career game, considering who he played. He had 2 sacks, 5 pressures, 4 tackles for loss, and a pass deflection on the day. Like I said, when Max Crosby shows up, this team will win. And he's done that, and he's putting up a Defensive Player of the Year, like, season so far. As for the opposite side of the ball, Davante Adams showed up big. He had 9 catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown. Rookie tight end, Georgia Bulldog Brock Bowers, had 9 catches and 98 yards. Like I said earlier with the Chiefs, they can't guard a tight end. Well, eventually you're going to have to play Brock Bowers twice this year and Davante Adams. So eventually you're going to have to learn how to guard a tight end, or Brock Bowers is going to destroy the living shit out of you. My question at the end of the game is, are the Raiders a real team, or are the Ravens just bad? Because when we look on the Ravens side of it, Lamar had an interception. He didn't have a good game, and O-line continued to look bad like I said they would. They're not good. They are a terrible unit. You replaced 3 starters from last year. You're just not a good unit, man. They need to perform better for this team to actually be good. And another question I had to ask after the game is, John Harbaugh on a hot seat? I personally think he needs to be. Because I believe if you're paying a high-level coach all this money and he can't get you to the big game, he's just, what's the point of paying him? Why not just restart and give another head coach a shot? Because why are you going to pay somebody like John Harbaugh big money and he's not delivering when you need him to be? So who knows? In other news, Justin Tucker is washed officially. He's officially passed the best kicker in the league to Harrison Butker. And I forgot to mention Butker and his performance, but, you know, shout out my conservative homeboy. Beliefs aside or not, man, this is why you got to respect other guys' beliefs, because this guy is a baller, dude. He can believe all he wants as long as he's nailing kicks, dude. But anyways, yeah, Justin Tucker is washed. That is a concern. Well, I think my boy needs to hang it up soon, for sure. Say Flowers had himself a bounce back game. He had 7 catches, 91 yards, and a tutty. But after the game, he started retweeting tweets of how he didn't get the ball in the second half. So, cause for concern? Who knows? But this team needs to perform better. They start the season off 0-2, which nobody would have expected. The Raiders get a big upset as they look to prove themselves to be real and hopefully make a wild card spot. Raiders won this one 26-23. Before I jump into the Giants Commanders, once again, forgive me if you hear the MacBook fan in the back. I don't know what's up with this computer, dude. Not worth the money so far. It's just sounding like a PS4 jet right now, unfortunately. So if you heard that in the first part, forgive me. I hope it continues to shut off. But it's probably going to be on and off this whole episode. So once again, I'm sorry about that, guys. The goal is one day I give you better content. I give you better quality. Just hope on that. But as for the Giants and Commanders, man, will Brian Daboll lose his job over Danny Dimes? You know, that was a question I had after watching this game, dude. I don't know. He might have to go out with Danny Dimes. I'm not saying it's his fault, but I think Giants ownership is going to be eventually tired. And unfortunately, I think if you ship out Danny Dimes, they might do Brian Daboll the same way. Because, I mean, you've seen the frustration on his face after the game. He clearly knows his job is on the line, just like Danny Dimes. And fortunately, Danny Dimes isn't delivering, man. Another question is Malik Nabers leading the Rookie of the Year race offensively? He had another great game. He had a 10-catch, 127-yard, 1-touchdown performance. I loved it, but he also did share another great performance with another Offensive Rookie of the Year candidate at the wide receiver position. I'll talk about him a little later, though. Jaden Daniels had himself a good game, man, in the passing game. He had 23 completions with 226 yards. For scary Terry McLaurin, he only had 6 catches and 22 yards. So far has had a bad year. For, I would say, his standards, a guy like him, he's about to enter his 30s. Could it be time for a move? Could he be a Chief soon? Who knows? As you know, the Commanders are in a rebuild. I don't think there's any point of paying this guy. You know, if production isn't matching up, and it could not just be his fault. You know, it could be just the lack of looks his way. But maybe it's time to move on. Who knows? But Commanders want to win with a walk-off field goal, 21-18. Let's talk Jets-Titans. The Jets allowed the Titans to play way too close, in my opinion. The Titans have had a good defense. I'll talk about them a little later. But I think the Jets, for their quality of play, their team, they should be winning games versus the Titans, at least by double digits. But they won this one 24-17. Jermaine Johnson looks to be out for the rest of the season with a torn Achilles. I think it was Achilles. Now you have to ask yourself, is it time to pay Hassan Reddick? And I think it is. You know, you can't. You got to have a pass rush in this league. You won't be a good team if you can't have any pass rush. It's been rare to see teams be good without zero pass rush. A good chance you don't see them far in the playoffs if they are going to make the playoffs. But yeah, I think it's time you pay Hassan Reddick. There's no point just wasting each other's time. Get to a contract agreement ASAP. For Braylon Allen, you know, running back out of Wisconsin, man, the youngest player in the league, had two TDs. He's the youngest player ever to record both a rushing and receiving touchdowns. Rodgers, Big A-Rod, had 18 completions, 176 yards, and two TDs on the game. Breece Hall, it's been, you know, not the best game he had yesterday, for sure. But Garrett Wilson, you know, he showed up, led in receiving yards for the Jets. But, you know, a good performance, I would say, for a team, you know, that's trying to mesh together after a loss last week. They're going to continue to improve, and then they have the Patriots on Thursday Night Football this week, so it's going to be interesting. I had the Jets winning this one, and they won. As for the Titans, like I said, the defense continues to impress. Back-to-back good weeks. Could you blame it on the Bears just not being a good offense yet, or are you going to say the Titans are good defense? I'll say the good Titans are good defense. They had a good week this week, in my opinion, too, only giving up 24 points. You know, but offensively, Tony Pollard has looked like he's been worth every penny. He led the game in rushing. He had another good game all around, and that's what you wanted from a guy like Tony Pollard. Calvin Ridley showed up with four catches and 77 yards. As for my boy LeJarius Sneed, I need an interception soon, brother. You know, I miss you. We need you, but I would love to see another interception soon from him. As for quarterback play, Will Levis stinks. I don't think he'll be there next year. I think the Titans will be in top five range to get a quarterback. Could it be Shador Sanders? Could it be Quinn Ewers? Who knows? I think they get a new quarterback, though, next year. I don't think Mailman. I don't think Will Levis got it, dude. And, you know, I'll bring him up a little later in the podcast, too. Jets win this one 24-17. Browns-Jags. I don't got a lot of notes on this game, man. Just because low scoring, pervert QB for the Browns. Just overall bad game for the league, man. It might be time for a culture change in Jacksonville, though, if they don't improve at all. As for the Browns, their defense showed up, but the offense was still bad, in my opinion. Nick Chubb is desperately needed, and I think Deshaun Watson at all is not worth the money, and everybody in Cleveland knows that, and everybody in the organization knows that. He could be due for the suspension soon due to recent allegations. If you haven't seen that, go read up on it. It's pretty disgusting. I'd advise you, if you don't want to be bothered by it, to don't read it, but yeah, he could get suspended again soon. Who knows? I don't know if it might be this season because the investigation might take too long, but he for sure, his time is ticking in Cleveland. I don't see him coming back next year unless he does good. Who cares if you get third place in the AFC North? If you can't make the playoffs with Deshaun Watson, I don't think he should be on the roster for the money he has. The Jags offense, in my opinion, also needs to be way more consistent. They have the talents. They have the tools. Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Brian Thomas Jr., Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, they have the tools to be good offensively. They just need to put together and be way more consistent. The Browns won this one 18-13. For the Niners-Vikings, shout out Sam Darnold. Big revenge game. Everybody remembers when Jake Browning played, I think, might have been the Vikings? I don't know. But just remember, he got off the sideline hyped as ever saying, you should have never cut me. He's like, you should have never effing cut me, man. And I think Sam Darnold should have thought the same thing with the way he played against the Niners, man. Jay Jettis continued to just be one of the best wide receivers I laid my eyes on. He might not be top five now, but he's got that talent, man. He's one of the best for sure in the last 5 years. He's had four catches, 133 yards, and one touchdown. The biggest play coming off that 97-yarder, which was a beauty by Sam Darnold. He got a lot of injuries in this game, man. Kittle, Bosa, and both Justin Jefferson all at least went to the locker room at some point in the game. But for good positive notes for the Niners, at least, Jordan Mason did show up. He had 23 carries, 100 yards on the ground, and one TD. Chunky Deebo Samuel had 8 catches and 110 yards. As for Kittle fantasy owners like myself, we enjoyed this day as he had 7 catches, 76 yards, and a touchdown. Unfortunately, I think I am 0-2 in my two money leagues because I'm just down by way too much to ever catch up. Nick Bosa and Fred Warner continue to show up, two defensive player of the year candidates, I think, just because of their talent and their ability, and for sure the way the defense will be statistically by the end of the year. They continue to show up, man, but unfortunately, Purdy with 300 yards, the Niners can't pull a win together, and they lose 23-17. Vikings winning. As for the Chargers and Panthers, originally I wanted to say you got to feel bad for Bryce Young, but I saw a stat that said he was pressured 4 times out of 29 dropbacks. Mentally, he has to perform better, and it won't help his case that news just broke he's going to be benched for week 3. He's going to be benched versus the Raiders for Andy Dalton. They said, head coach said Bryce Young is still their quarterback, but I don't get how you do that and sit him. There's reports that they think the season is slipping away. I hate to be that guy, but you never had a chance to make the playoffs. The season was slipping away as soon as you got to training camp. You never were going to be good. I think you just let the rookie go out there and continue to play and continue to hopefully better his mental health, his mental side of the game. You just got to hope he can better that. I don't think Andy Dalton's going to get you a win on Sunday. I don't think at all he will. So what's the point? Why not let the rookie why not let the second-year player go out there and continue to work on his game as he hopes to keep his job, man? But Quentin Johnston for the Chargers had himself a game. He had 2 touchdowns along with 51 yards. He's showing that he's here to stay, man. Any Quentin Johnston haters from last year are silent as hell right now, especially the Chargers fans, man. J.K. Dobbins, though, is returning to his rookie form, man. He had 17 carries, 131 yards in the tutty. As for Big Herbo, Justin Herbert, he had only 130 yards with 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. Not the best performance for him, but once again, the Chargers just dominated both sides of the ball. With Jim Harbaugh being 2-0 while John is 0-2, does this make Jim the better Harbaugh? I'm thinking so. I think Jim is clearing his brother heavy right now. What John has over Jim is, though, is of course the Super Bowl ring. But I mean, what? Jim's got a natty. He's performing better in the NFL right now. Who knows, man? Chargers win this one 26-3. Next, let's talk Bucks lines, man. Baker and that Bucks team are a real threat to the NFC. Originally, I had them missing the playoffs, and I had them going second in the NFC South to the Falcons, but quickly that's changed. I think they easily win it. They easily win the NFC South, and they look to be a threat to every team in the NFC. Last year, they dominated the Eagles, and of course, the Eagles are a different team, but they can still compete with the Eagles, in my opinion. They just competed and beat the Lions, and they for sure can beat that Niners team that just lost to the Vikings yesterday. They are a threat. Chris Godwin looks to be back in good form, man. He's officially off bump status. Mike Evans didn't have himself a good game, but, it's okay. So the Lions side of things, Jared Goff needs to perform better, but the Lions should have panicked, though. Jared Goff, he's an established quarterback. Some say bottom. He's a bare 10 top, barely a top 10 guy. Some others got him top 15. I think he's around that top 15 status, but, there's no reason to panic in the Lions organization. You just lost to another good team, man, by only 4 points. It's not the end of the world for the Lions. They can still very well make it to the Super Bowl and win it. They have the talent to do so. Aiden Hutchinson, though, is the truth. My boy had 4.5 sacks. PFF counts as 5, as they don't do half sacks, but regardless, man, 4.5 sacks, dude, had himself a day. Alongside J-Mo, Jameson Williams, dude, having a good back-to-back good weeks, man. He had 5 catches for 79 yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown showed up big this week. He had 11 catches and 119 yards. Just big day for both of those guys. They are needed. They are needed to be. This Lions team, they're going to need Amon, they're going to need J-Mo, and they're going to need Sam Laporta. So far, they've got that, but they unfortunately did still lose. The Bucs defense did pretty well without Antoine Winfield Jr. He's going to hopefully return soon, man. But, the Bucs, continue to impress me. Baker had 185 yards in a tutty. Chris Godwin had 7 catches, 117 yards in 1 tutty. And Rashad White and Bucky Irvin continue to establish themselves at probably a top backfield in the NFL right now. They look both impressive back-to-back weeks. So, yeah, the Bucks win this one 20-16. Next, as for the Seahawks and Pats, Geno had himself a beauty of a game, man. He had 327 yards and only 1 touchdown, though. They couldn't run the ball at all. That is a negative for the Seahawks. In the passing game, though, they looked electric. DK Metcalf and JSN both had beautiful games. DK had 10 catches, 128 yards, and one tutty, while JSN had 12 catches, 117 yards. I mean, pair that with Tyler Lockett. Dude, that is a good trio that can possibly sneak into the playoffs. They win this one 23-20. As for the Pats, you know, another mid-offensive week, in my opinion. I think it's time you start Drake May. Jacoby Brissett hasn't done nothing to separate himself from being different than Drake May. All he has is the vet status over Drake May, man. The fact that you can say, yeah, Jacoby's been here before. He knows what he's doing. Outside of that, he hasn't done nothing on the field to make you say, yeah, he should be playing over Drake May. Hunter Henry was the only person to have over 12 receiving yards, man. He had 8 catches with 109, but after that, Jalen Polk only had 12 yards, and everybody else had under 12 yards. The passing attack needs to be better. I think the rushing game is good. They had 185 yards on the ground, but the passing attack, it needs to be better, and I think it's time you put Drake May in there. What do you have to lose? All right, I hate to be that guy, but you're probably not going to make the playoffs. But yes, you could just say Jacoby Brissett, the vet, he's been here before. He could possibly do it. Nah, man. Drake May, he will give you the same production or even better in this offense because Jacoby Brissett, as of now, hasn't shown anything elite. Of course, the Seahawks won this in overtime, 23-20. Let's talk Colts-Packers, man. Malik Willis, Liberty alumni, man, secured his first NFL win as a starting quarterback. Like, I believe the Packers' rushing attack needed to show up, and they did big time. They had 261 rushing yards on the ground total, while Willis had 122 passing yards and a tutty. Josh Jacobs himself had over 150 rushing yards on the ground, while Jonathan Taylor, man, had himself a game as well. He had 12 carries for 103 yards. Could it be the year of the running backs? Are running backs back? Are they established? Is it finally established to run in the NFL? Who knows? Isaiah Pacheco had himself a good game. When I was watching these games, the rushing attack was on that, man. Could it be the year of the running backs? As for Anthony Richardson, man, he needs to be way more consistent. I just said this last week. Dude, they are going to be as good as he can be consistent. If that makes sense, they'll only be good if he is consistent. He had 3 interceptions that costed him. They lost by 6 points, and he had 3 interceptions. He's just got to be better, dude. He has the talent. He has the arm strength. He has what it takes to be a great quarterback in the league. He just needs to be smarter and more consistent. But this is going to be a great year for him to learn. So that's going to be good to watch all over the season, man, as he continues to improve. But the Packers win this one 16-10 as they still wait for Jordan Love to return. Let's get into the last for the early slate. Let's talk Saints Cowboys, man. 2016 Derek Carr is back, man. I seriously doubted the Saints. I had them going last in the NFC South. Last. I had the Panthers being better than them. But by week 2, they clearly shattered that, dude. They blew my expectations out the water. They looked to compete with the Bucs for the NFC South crown. Derek Carr had 243 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kamara was looking like his peak version as he had 115 rushing yards and 3 TDs with 65 receiving yards and a tutty as well. Rashid Shaheed had himself, even with the ugly number 22 and all, he had a great game. 4 catches, 96 yards and a tutty. Olave showed up as Ohio State Buckeye receivers continued to just, they shined on Sunday, man. One guy in particular, we'll talk about him later. But yeah, Rashid had 496-1 while Olave had 481. You know, those guys are going to be needed for this passing attack to work. As for the Cowboys, or are the Saints legit and they just lost that to a good team? Or are the Cowboys just the same old Cowboys, man? That's a question that's going to get answered. They got embarrassed in the home opener of Jerry's World for the 2024 season. And yeah, CD looked good, I guess. There's not a lot of, you know, notes you could take away from the Cowboys because they just got embarrassed. They got worked. They're going to need to be better if they're going to want to be serious, of course. But Dak, he had 2 interceptions en route to a blowout loss. Saints win this one 44-19. All right, now let's get into the mid-afternoon slate, dog. If you were in Denver, Colorado, or any part of Colorado, good chance you just smelled the stench, the smell of both offenses yesterday. They stunk the city up. I mean, the final score being 13-6, Justin Fields, Bo Nix, you know, just disgusting offensive performance, man. You know, offensively, around the league, it's been pretty bad. It's been pretty bad, but these two teams just decided to go lower than everybody else. They just stunk the joint up, man. The Steelers, they are 2-0 now. They lead the AFC North, forgive me. Justin Fields looked decent, but nothing crazy. He had 117 yards passing and a touchdown with no big turnovers. Najee Harris is looking to be running back 1. Jaylen Warren is getting less carries than him. Got a question if it's injury-related because I have Jaylen Warren drafted, you know, so I'm going to need him to step up. For the defense, they very much still looked elite, or the Broncos' offense continued to disappoint me in my predictions. But yeah, now their defense looks elite, and you know, as they play the Bengals and Ravens, man, they play them 4 games. You gotta hope that defense shows up, and I think they will because they've been looking elite back to back weeks. As for the Broncos, though, man, defensively they had a good game, but Bo Nix, we all know him to be Bo Nix, though, dude. He just couldn't help them out at all, dude. The Broncos only scored 6 points as they lost 13-6. Broncos have now just—they're just failing my expectations. I expect them to be better. Everybody has top five draft pick expectations. I had near playoff expectations for them, but it looks like they're not going to hit that, unfortunately. Now let's talk Rams Cardinals, man. I know I've been rambling about the day slate, so I'll be short here. Kyler Murray, as of now, might be my MVP candidate. He might be top one. He looked spectacular yesterday. He had 266 yards passing and 3 touchdowns with 59 yards on the ground. Big Marv, Marvin Harrison Jr. had 4 catches, 130 yards, and 2 TDs in a route to a big day offensively for the Cards. Even James Conner popped off with 21 carries, 122 yards, and 1 rushing touchdown. As for the Rams, though, I thought they could win, but unfortunately those injuries weren't small enough to overcome. Puka on IR, multiple O-linemen, Allison, they just calculates for a bad day offensively, man. Matthew Stafford just didn't have much time in the pocket. Offensively, it was a mess. Cooper Kupp, I think, went to the locker room at some point. Just, you know, not a great game, man. They're going to have to bounce back, but, you know, once they get healthy, they are still a threat in the NFC. Lastly, for Sunday Night Football, let's talk Bears-Texans. For the Texans, CJ Stroud had a stellar night with many highlight-worthy passes. He had 260 passing yards with a tutty. Nico Collins continues to shine, and he's looking to enter that top five conversation. I believe he's closer to being a top five receiver than he is being outside of the top 10. You know, Nico Collins was just popped out of nowhere for me last season. You know, I really didn't keep up with the Texans, but he just shined all last year, and he's continued to shine this year, man. It's beautiful to see. He had 8 catches, 135 yards, and a tutty. As for the rest of the offense, they didn't have an explosive night, but they still pulled out the win, though. Defensively, they put up over 30 pressures on Caleb Williams in that Bears O-line, man. Former number 3 overall pick Will Anderson had 9 of them, and Danielle Hunter had himself a night too. Just a great night for that box, for that front 7. They just flat out dominated, and you know, that led to the win. For Caleb and co, they need to have to perform better. I think it was back-to-back weeks of bad performances. Caleb threw 2 interceptions, while DeAndre Swift looked terrible. He had 14 carries for 18 yards. You gotta hope, man, he looks to be an NFL running back. Get into some contact, you know, and rush the ball like a proper running back, man. The trio of Rome, DJ, and Allen, they have to continue to work as well. They have to get better, get on time with Caleb. It's a process for the Bears. I don't think I had them making the playoffs, had them close, but, you know, it's a process, you know. They're not out of anything yet. They're still very much in whatever they want to be in. They believe they are NFC North, you know, they're candidates to win it. They're still in it. Wild card, they're still in it. You know, they still have a chance to turn the season around. And there isn't really nothing to turn around. They just need to improve offensively, which I think they can do. But yeah, Texans win this one 19-13. You know, guys, I put in the title of the podcast. I put it everywhere, dog. I try to tell you guys, let's make some money, and we unfortunately didn't. Let's look over some of these tickets, brother. I had Isaiah Pacheco over 67.5 yards, Travis Kelce anytime touchdown score, and Xavier Worthy over 1.5 yards in the first quarter. And that unfortunately failed. Pacheco easily hit over his over, but Travis Kelce was against a ghost. Like I said earlier, still felt like he's on the Eras Tour, man. He's just not there mentally. And as for Xavier Worthy, what broke my heart is we ran the ball like it was 1980. Andy Reid just doesn't – I don't want to get into that no more, man. But we ran the ball like it was the 80s, dog. And Xavier Worthy didn't get a look at. He didn't get a target at all. It wasn't until the beginning second quarter. After that third drive, the second drive, Mahomes threw an interception first play, but the third drive, so I think the first play, he got a little flat route, boom, right there, got his yards. Ridiculous, but yeah, didn't hit that one, put 15 up, returned with 0. And what really broke my heart, man, was this 4-leg parlay where we had CeeDee, Lamar, Jordan Mason, and Saquon scoring a touchdown anytime. CeeDee in a blowout loss, he got in some. Brother, it just broke my heart, and it's looking at me like I ended up the Saints ended up winning 44-19. I think I kept telling y'all it was 13, so forgive me on that part. For some reason, my brain was engraved that it was 13. But anyways, he got his. Jordan Mason got his. I thought that was predictable. But what broke my heart is Lamar Jackson, dude. They had multiple times at the end of the game to score. And hell, you could say on that last play where he flipped it to, who was it? I don't know who he flipped it to, but you could have said right there he could have juked somebody and he had a chance to score that touchdown on the last play, which I really think he could have. All you need is just one, two spins, man, and Lamar's in the end zone and they get a game winner and I get my money. But we can't even see if Saquon scores tonight. I hope he doesn't because it's making me feel better, but that's unfortunately gone. I put 10 out and returned 0. But yeah, you know, we look to come back next week, dog. And, you know, every week I'll try to cook up something for the Chiefs because that's my team, you know. I watch them religiously, dude. Like, I know the like, ins and outs, so I'm going to probably know what's best to, you know, what to put on here. And, you know, hopefully you guys can tell. But since Thursday Night Football, I think your boy's kind of your boy's been 0-5, brother. It's been tough, dog. It's been tough for sure. But we look to bounce back with college football and NFL this weekend. But speaking of college football, let's get into that next.
Hey man, let's tap into some college football, dog. When I talked about Friday's games, it was both Kansas. The state of Kansas was repping big. Two primetime games, Kansas State versus Arizona, UNLV versus Kansas. I had both Kansas State and UNLV winning. Like I said in my first ever breakdown of college football, Kansas is not like that, and they continue to prove like that. You can blame the play call and the quarterback. It don't matter who you blame. I had them not being good, and look at that. 1-2, probably not going to make the Big 12 championship nor the college football playoff. As for Kansas State, they get a big ranked win. They end up dominating Arizona, man. If I look at the stats, I tell you right now, Tip McMillan probably didn't show up that game. And that's okay. You're not going to be perfect, dog. I mean, let's keep it a band, dude. I'm wrong. He had 11 catches, 128 yards. 138 yards. So I'm going to eat my words. I'm not gonna reshoot that. I'm going to eat my words. You know, that's why you don't ever assume in this business. I'm going to eat my words. I look like an idiot. He still tore up that game, even losing by 24. But, yeah, Kansas and Kansas State, one looks good, one looks bad. As for Saturday's games, Tennessee, number 7 Tennessee, now number 7 Tennessee, won by 71. Colorado State, who I won, had winning, just flat out disappeared. Shedeur Sanders baked their ass. And yeah, disappointing for Colorado State for sure, and the drama after the game was so pointless. At the end of the day, Colorado State QB, I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. I've said it before, but I don't know why I can't say it now. But yeah, he talked trash before the game. And like usual, you know, even if you talk trash before, you're going to shake hands, forget about it. But Shedeur Dehan didn't do that. He flat out told him, you couldn't F with me. And that's okay. Trash talking is in business. I don't think that really reveals much of Shedeur's character. It's just that it's football, dog. What can I say? But yeah, Colorado won that one big. Nebraska handled business versus Northern Iowa. And both Northern Iowa. But what was the shocker of the day? It was most deaf. Georgia only beating Kentucky by 1 point. Mark Stoops proved why being a P-word isn't right for business, dog. He flat out punted the ball when he shouldn't have at the end of the game. Put the ball in the hands of his defense, and they just couldn't deliver, man. It's unfortunate, but Kentucky competed, and could Georgia finally be weak? Who knows, man. Texas handled business. Arch Manning, dude. Everybody said he should have transferred, but no, dude. He's going to cook as soon as Quinn Ewers leaves. Arch Manning's going to take that throne, and he's going to cook for the Texas Longhorns. I can't wait to see him get a full season under his belt. Ole Miss handled business. Miami handled business. Utah was in a close one with Utah State for most of it, but they ended up winning by 14 points regardless. That is not 14 points, my dumbass. 17 points. Anyways, in other news, Iowa got a win. Pitt ended up winning. I think I had West Virginia know this one, but West Virginia choked a 10-point lead in, I think, what, was three minutes? Disappointing, what can I say, man? I had hopes for West Virginia, but they can still turn it around. Who knows? I still believe they're a better team than Kansas, and they play Kansas next week at home. Texas A&M handles Florida. Billy Napier, I think, is very close to losing his job. I think he's a loss away from losing his job. You know, I've seen Florida fans on Twitter. I've seen some of them deny the fact that they wouldn't want Dabo Sweeney. A lot of them wouldn't want Elijah Drinkwitz. I mean, we're talking about guys that probably wouldn't even take the job. All right? Florida, you can get good money at Florida. You can recruit the hell out of Florida. But not a lot of guys are going to want to take their job. Like, I don't think Eli Drinkwitz is going to leave Mizzou for Florida. They're kind of on the same level. He might get more money or even less. Same for Dabo, legend at Clemson. Why take probably less money at Florida? Like, who knows? All right, it's going to be interesting to see who they try to get, though, for sure. A&M won that by 13. Notre Dame flat out dominated Purdue. I thought Notre Dame was going to keep it close with Purdue. You know, Purdue might get a chance to upset, but no. It was, I think, 35-0 in the first quarter. Riley Leonard, Marcus Freeman, they get a good bounce back. You know, they won that. Oklahoma ends up beating Tulane. It was a little close near the fourth quarter, but they ended up breaking that one open. Oregon, Oregon State, I thought it was going to be a little close, but, you know, Oregon broke that one off the table. Yeah, and what I said a few weeks ago, like last week or and 2 weeks ago, I said Memphis was going to be Florida State. And I just believed that from the start. After week one, I was like, yeah, Memphis, who I had as my G5 representative in the college football playoffs, I was like, yeah, they're going to be Florida State, and that's going to be a win that helps them for sure. And look what it did. It helped them. But in hindsight, the FSU team is not good. So maybe it's not a big win. You know, Memphis, that's a good team, man. And I believe them, and I think they're going to win their conference, the American conference, and they're gonna represent the G5 in the playoffs. As for Florida State, yes, it's tough to see how many wins they'll get on their schedule. You gotta hope for you can pull a few wins out your ass, man. You just hope to be bowl eligible. That's all I can say. I think it's gonna be a bad year if you can't end up bowl eligible, man. But still possible. Who knows? LSU squeaks by South Carolina in what was a close game. They went by 3 points. Yeah, I mean, Garrett Neusmeyer had two tutties on the day, 285. Caden Durham showed out. He had 98 yards and two tutties. You know, it was a good game by South Carolina. They played way closer than I expected, but what can I say? LSU continued to roll on. Shout out to Tigers. Alabama dominated Wisconsin. They won by 32. Jalen Milroe. They handled business for sure down in Madison. I heard a lot of the fans stayed for the jump. You know, the classic jump in Madison, but immediately left as they knew what the result was going to be. But, yeah, they won by 32. And another game I told everybody to keep their eyes on was Missouri versus Boston College, my MIZ Tigers. This game for sure delivered. I don't know why it was on SEC Network. They should have flexed it. I don't care. You know, the Mizzou Tigers, who ended up falling down a rank below Tennessee. So, Tennessee, I think, is at the sixth spot with the new AP poll. Forgive me. I think I said they were seven, like, a few minutes ago. But now they are six, Mizzou seven. I don't know how. In the world, AP voters see Mizzou beating a top 25 team and said, hey, let's fall them down a spot while Tennessee beat a MAC school. But anyways, I digress. You know, Mizzou moves to 3-0. They get a big win. They play Vanderbilt next week. You know, what frustrated me was probably the lack of urgency in the first half. It took them getting punched in the mouth for them to finally wake up. I mean, hey, they did it. Brady Cook showed up. He had 264 and one. Nate Noel had a beautiful game on the ground. He had 121 yards with 22 carries. Luther Burden, LB3, showed up big time, and he had 6 catches, 117 yards, and 1 catch. And with Tutty, Mookie and Theo Weiss continued to just show out. It was a good game offensively, and I'm glad we had this game, and they got punched in their mouth because now they know what to do with pressure. The first two games, they had zero pressure at all. But now they finally did, and they overcame adversity. In a game they could have easily lost, they locked in, and they handled business, so I'm glad they did that. They get Vanderbilt. Then I'm pretty sure they get a bye, and then it's A&M on the road, man. I got to go to College Station, but, you know, the chance. If Georgia lost, man, it would have flipped everything. But with the way the teams Georgia play, Ole Miss play, Texas play, OU play, Tennessee play, Mizzou is very much there's a chance we could be a top 3 ranked team by the end of the year. Who knows? Got to keep hope. But for Boston College, they gave a good performance. They just lost to a better team. Thomas Castellanos looked really well, excluding the two interceptions. He looked good on the ground at first, but, you know, that quickly got stopped. But, yeah, man, Boston College, I think, is a good squad. You know, they didn't just beat up bad FSU team. I think they're a good squad. But that's it for college football this week, man. It was okay. I would say it's a good week, man. If you for sure tuned into Mizzou versus Boston College, LSU versus South Carolina. You kept your eye on Florida State versus Memphis. Forgive me for the stutter. And other games like Georgia versus Kentucky, you most definitely entertained. So, not a bad slate at all, man. But let's get into some MLB now. Guys, last time I talked MLB with you guys, I had pretty strong MVP takes. I thought Francisco Lindor was my personal MVP, but I said it was going to hard to get over Shohei Ohtani. And that's how it still stands. I would personally, if I had an MVP vote, I'd give it to Francisco Lindor, but he's just not going to win over Shohei Ohtani, man. Ohtani's just, I think, one of the greatest baseball players of all time. So glad we get to watch him, but, you know, he's just been dominating, man. And Dodgers continue to hold first in the NL West. As for the rest of the standings, nothing changed, man. I mean, it was Philly, Milwaukee, and Dodgers all in first place. But the closest lead is San Diego with the Dodgers with around 12, 13 games left for each team. The Padres very well could come and win this division. Who knows? Arizona's not even out the race, but as for Philly and Milwaukee, they can firmly relax. Atlanta, New York Mets, both 9 games back. Milwaukee has 10 over the Cubs. Yeah, for the Dodgers, though, they for sure got the Padres on their tail. As for the wild card, we look in the NL, speaking of them. Like, it's the two teams I just mentioned. Padres and Diamondbacks, they both got there. And right now, for the third spot, it is still the Braves and Mets. Nothing changing about that. Those are going to be your four wild card teams. Unfortunately, the Mets, I don't see making it. It would take a drastic fall for either the four wild card teams and the Cubs to just rise up and win out. As for the AL, your leaders are still the Yanks, Guardians, and Astros. For lead-wise, the closest team is the Orioles right now, followed by the Royals with the Guardians. And then Seattle's 4.5 behind Houston. Divisions are still up for grabs. You know, that's a great thing about this season for baseball is that right now you have four divisions by the end of it that could change. I don't think so, but it could. That's for the wild card guys. Baltimore, Kansas City still got that 4 and 5 spot. Minnesota's looking to push back Detroit after an weekend versus Cincinnati. They have a 2.5 lead over Detroit and Seattle. Boston at 4.5 right now. As for the Royals, man, they play the Tigers. They got a series with the Tigers with a series win or sweep. They can probably fully push the Tigers out of playoff contention. But for the Royals, the goal is to continue to just climb up, keep your spot, have no pressure, just stay healthy and get that 4 or 5 spot. Or if you're lucky enough and the Guardians can slide 5 to 6 games in a stretch and you can win out, win majority of your games, you got it. For my Royals, you know what I'm saying? They got Detroit, San Francisco on the road for 6 games. Detroit and San Francisco at home for 6 games, get a break off, and then you finish with the NL East on the road for Washington and Atlanta. No, I think we could very well win 3D series. Atlanta scares me a little because Atlanta is very much in playoff contention, and unless a drastic injury happens, they're going to still be there. So that would scare me the most, but yeah. It's going to be interesting, man. As for who plays each other, Twins and Guardians, that's going to be a big series. You know, for the Royals especially, and the Tigers. Braves, Dodgers. It's a big series, but about 2 playoff teams. Padres and Astros. So, you know, I'd say what the series to watch over this week would be Tigers, Royals, Twins, Guardians, Dodgers, Braves, and Astros and Padres. There's going to be 4 good series to watch over the next few days. As for by the time we get back, though, you still have Twins, Guardians. You'll have Mariners, Yankees at this point. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, we got for sure, the MLB season, I think, has been great this year. You got, in what looks like this should be easy blowout MVP seasons for Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, you have strong number 2 MVP seasons that would be great in so many other years, but unfortunately they can't do it. And that, I'm talking about both shortstops, Francisco Lindor and Bobby Wood Jr. Both those guys in other years would both be very much deserving and would clear MVP combos, but fortunately, they are dealing with demigods in Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. So, can't speak for Cy Young. I think it is still Tariq Skubal for the AL. NL, man, I think for NL, I would either go between, you know, Chris Sale, Zach Wheeler. I think somebody out of the NL East is going to come out with Cy Young. As for Rookie of the Year, I got Jackson Merrill from the Padres and Luis Gill from the Yankees. I think the Yankees are going to have a good year award-wise. For the Padres and Phillies, they add to the total of that. Of course, AL and NL MVP, unfortunately, Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. But in another positive world, in a happy world, it'd be Francisco Lindor and Bobby Wood Jr. But yeah, that's it for MLB talk. By Friday, who knows? There could be a serious shakeup in playoff seeding. So we'll talk about that on Friday. But yeah, man. As of now, let's hop into the mailbag. All right, now let's kick it off with the mailbag. First question, honestly, what concerns you the most about next week's game? And this is my boy Josh, Falcons fan. If I had to be honest about what concerns me for next week's game is the offense ability to move the ball, and that's with the passing game. If Rashee Rice is got A.J. Terrell on him, and he's got Justin Simmons or Jesse Bates over the top, I'm a little scared, especially with Isaiah Pacheco injured. I don't know how we're going to really move the ball well if Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy, and everybody other than Rashee Rice doesn't show up. It's going to get spooky, and we're going to need good left tackle play and tackle play regardless with Matthew Judon on the edge. So that concerns me, is our ability to move the ball for sure. Next question from my boy Maxwell. He asks, who do you think are the biggest threat to the Chiefs are in the AFC? Personally, from what I've seen over the last few weeks, I'm going to go with the Texans. CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon. They have everything, I feel like, to take. They can get pressure on the QB. They showed down Sunday Night Football with over 30 pressures. I'm scared of them the most because they have everything you need to beat Patrick Mahomes. Well, we play them later in the regular season. Who knows if they can compete on the road in hell. If they beat us on the road at Arrowhead, then yeah, I'm for sure scared of them. And his second question is, what college football prospects do you think will have the biggest increase or decrease in their draft stock? For increase, I think it's Quinn Ewers. We came to this year thinking, man, the draft class for QBs this year is pretty mediocre. It's pretty bad. But I think Quinn Ewers is playing at a level where it's like, okay, if you need a quarterback, this is a no-brainer decision. Quinn Ewers is that guy. I know he hasn't been the best every year, but this year I think he's playing at a Heisman level, and I think he will have the biggest increase. As for decrease, I'm a double back to quarterback, and I'm going to say Carson Beck. You know, I just don't think he's that talented, and I don't think it's worth it. I've seen what we've seen guys get taken like Daniel Jones, Will Levis. I don't know. Carson Beck doesn't give me something that pops in his game, man. I think his stock will decrease. For the next question, it's a little basketball related, man. It's from my boy Lynx, and he asks, if you had to choose today, which members of the Rockets young core would you try the hardest to retain versus which ones you would be okay with moving on from at some point? Off the love, brother, I would fight the hardest for Şengün, man. Alperen Şengün, he is my favorite player, dude. I love him so much. But if I'd be realistic with you, it'd be him, Şengün, Amen Thompson, and Reed Shepard, with Tari Eason being that four. As for guys I would eventually be okay with moving on from, it'd probably have to be Jalen Green and Jabari Smith. Cam Whitmore, I'm in the middle about right now. I'd love to keep him, but if I had to move on, I'd probably be okay, especially if it's for a superstar. But it would be a no-brainer in my head if we had to trade for a superstar, if I had to throw Jalen Green and Jabari in there. But for Cam, I'm in the middle, but if I had to, he would be gone. But yeah, for guys I'd fight for, it'd be Şengün, Amin, Reed, and Tari. Tari would be that fourth leg, man. But, you know, I love all those guys, man. But if I had to be okay with somebody going, it'd be Jabari or Jalen. Next question is my boy Brian asks, a month away from the NBA season, what's the outlook on the Rockets season? Whew. Y'all brought my boys into this, man. What I think it is, I think we have the squad, we have the roster to be a top six team. With Ime Udoka, Fred VanVleet, Amen Thompson, Jabari, Tari, Şengün, Steven Adams. What you got? Jeff Green coming back. Jalen Green, Cam Whitmore, Reed Shepard. I think this roster is going to be really good, man. I think Reed Shepard can be Rookie of the Year. I just believe in this roster so well. And last year was a little heartbreaking, but Şengün got hurt late in the year. Jalen didn't start off the year right. He still finished at 500, 41-41. This year, another year under Ime. You know, you're going to have a chance to be a top six seed. But if not, I'm okay with being between 6 and 10. We need to be in the play-in or playoffs. Like, your season's a fail if you don't make it. I don't care what happens. Your season is a fail if you don't make it. But it's a big gain regardless of how it is. If you make the playoffs as a top six seed, whatever happens in the playoffs, it's okay. If you make the play-in, depending on how early or late you get bounced, depends on if it's a fail or not. But the goal is playing. That should be what we need to be. And I think the outlook is we'll be a playing team, or we'll be that sixth seed, in my opinion. Another follow-up question from my boy Langston. He also asks, also, first coach to get fired this season, NBA or an NFL? For the NFL, this is hard. This is a hard question for sure. But I think I'm going to go with Mike McCarthy. I just don't see if this Cowboys team taking off, especially after the Saints game. I don't see this Cowboys team taking off, and I think Jerry Jones would get very frustrated, and I think Mike McCarthy's gone. I think they can still make the playoffs with or without him, but I think Mike McCarthy will be the first to get fired. As for the NBA, I'm going to go with Billy Donovan. You know, I think it's going to be another bad year for the Bulls, and you're just going to just sit there with no expectations. I haven't dived into the NBA yet. I will in a month, but as of now, I have no expectations for that team, and I think they're just going to perform poorly. I just think Billy Donovan, I think he'll just be the first to get fired because, I don't know, I don't have expectations. I just expect this team to be picking in a lottery, for sure top 10, man. And I just don't trust him. I don't think Billy Donovan's been that guy. I don't think he's been that good of a coach, really, since He left the Thunder, man. But yeah, that's who I would have it getting fired. For the next few questions, it gets a little weird, man. For my boy Payne Show, we got how big is it? Question mark, hashtag born to ball pod mailbag. It's big enough to do its job, brother. That's all I'm gonna say, man. I'm not gonna get weird. Don't know if I got kids listening. That's all I'm gonna say. My guy Yoshi asks, when are you gonna pay the child support? They haven't eaten in 3 days, man. When I get on the back on the winning side of these FanDuel tickets, bro. Next, Jalen asks, favorite straight to jail tweet. My God, I'd say anytime the Ravens lose. Nikki asks, thoughts on Diddy? That guy's a pervert and he needs to be locked up. And the rest of the questions revolve Diddy, so I'm not gonna answer that. But yeah, that was the Born to Ball podcast mailbag. It should usually be on every Friday, but I messed up. I forgot it, but so it was on today's podcast. But on Friday, expected to be on there. But yeah, man, let's dive into some Monday Night Football. You know, AJ Brown is out for this game, so I don't know what to expect from the Eagles offense except run the ball. You got Jalen Hurts, you got Saquon Barkley, but you still got Dallas Goedert and Smitty. So, you know, the passing attack is still there. I think the offense won't miss AJ Brown, especially against the Eagles. But that does create a better advantage for the Falcons secondary. You know, you can get AJ Terrell to match up on DeVonta Smith. You still got Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons. So that matches what that fares well for the Falcons and allows them to compete. For the Falcons, I hope Bijan Robinson, you know, he looked great. If you looked the game, he looked great, but just the stats in the show. You just gotta hope he gets more shine tonight. He looks good. You just gotta hope Kirk Cousins can actually move in the pocket, and if the Eagles can get pressure on them, it's gonna be wraps. You know, I think it can be a close game tonight if, like I said, the Falcons secondary can hold up and they can stop the run. But if it's not close, the reason it won't be close, if it isn't, is because the Eagles dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides. The D line and low line dominated the Falcons line of scrimmage. And I think that's what's going to happen, man. If you ask me, I got the Eagles winning this 31-14. I think Bijan gets on the board for two touchdowns. Kirk looks okay. That's all you can hope is that he looks okay. But if Kirk does look bad in this game, I wouldn't be shocked if we see Michael Penix in this game. That's what I think. But I got the Eagles winning this one 31-14. Saquon, I think he'll hit over 100 yards on the ground. Bijan, he'll shine. Maybe the tight ends get some action. Maybe tight ends get some love. Dallas Goedert and Kyle Pitts in the game. Who knows? Smitty can get his own tonight, but probably will be matched up on AJ Terrell. I think it could be a good game for sure. It can be one of those underrated Monday Night Football games where the Falcons could upset them or keep it close at least. But yeah, I got the Eagles winning regardless, 31-14. All right, guys, for the last segment, guys, we're going to give a three-word sentence for the prediction, the future, the outlook of every team in NFL's rest of their regular season, man. I'm going to go into detail a little more about why I said this. And yeah, let's kick it off with the Cardinals. Marv, Kyler, money. This connection is money, and we saw this Sunday. These guys, when they're connected, when they're there together, it is a beauty to watch, and everybody saw it. They're going to be electric all season if they can connect every game, and they're going to be able to compete in the NFC West and possibly make the playoffs. This connection can get you to the playoffs, so that's why I think it's money. As for the Falcons, it's feed Bijan Moore. Dude, this is your best player on your team, in my opinion. Shout out Matthew Judon, AJ Terrell, Justin Simmons, Jesse Bates. Shout out all you guys, but I think the best player on this team by far is Bijan Robinson. He's going to be one of those running backs that deserves a payday, and it's a no-brainer you give him a payday. You know, he's so talented. He just needs the ball more, man. If Kirk Cousins can barely move in that pocket and you're fishy about Michael Penix, then Bijan Robinson is your answer to all your problems. For the Ravens, this is a big one. Harbaugh, gotta go. What is the point of paying this guy big money? What is the point when he can't get you the results? When you're in the regular season losing a team like the Raiders, when you're out here losing, yeah, by double digits, by the way. You had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter and you lost to the Raiders. There's so many instances you look in the last 5 years in the Lamar era where the Harbaugh-led Ravens choke leads versus bad and decent teams. They should be blowing the Raiders out the water, but instead, they lost. And I'm not going to lie to you, if we're sitting here in January and they get humbled in the AFC Championship game again, or they even leave earlier, hell, they don't even make the playoffs. Who knows? Harbaugh got to go. He either needs a Super Bowl appearance or a Super Bowl ring to keep his job. For the Bills, defense, stay solid. I think this is the backbone of the team. We know what Josh Allen can do. We know Dalton Kincaid, James Cook running the ball, Shakir, Keon Coleman. You got guys on offense, but to stay solid in the AFC East and the AFC, you're going to have a little defense, man. And forgive me for that voice crack, but you're going to have some defense. And They didn't really have it in the first half of the Cardinals game, but they did show up in the second half, and they did show up versus the Dolphins. Now, could it be because of the primetime Dolphins being just little P words? Who knows, man? But, yeah. For the Panthers, I got mock draft season. Unfortunately, depending on what path you think the Panthers should take, it's a mock draft season regardless. Is it get a wide receiver for, is it Tate McMillan or Luther Burden for Bryce Young? Is it a tackle like Will Campbell? Like, it's regardless of who you want for the Panthers, it's mock draft season. Let that be Quinn Ewers, Shedeur Sanders, Will Campbell, Tate McMillan, Luther Burden. Regardless, it's mock draft season in Carolina. For the Bears, I got offense, wake up. For this team to compete at all this season, their offense has to wake up. With the talented Caleb Williams and the talented trio and Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore, they got to show up. The offensive line can't allow 30-plus pressures. I know it could come from blitzes. You could just get outplayed, but you can't let that happen again all season. As for DeAndre Swift, he has to be a better running back, man. That game last night was miserable. 14 carries for 18 yards. That is disgusting, man. But they just have to wake up, and I believe they will. But if they don't, that would be the downfall of the season. If they do wake up, that would be what gives them the juice to keep going and possibly make the playoffs. For the Bengals, I got Paige Jamar Chase. We've seen what happened yesterday with T. Higgins and not having T. Higgins. Your offense still didn't look as good as we know it can be. And if you let Jamar Chase go, I don't know how long Joe Burrow wants to stay here, man. What do you have to offer? Cincinnati's just been a poor franchise, you know, excluding that one Super Bowl appearance, you know, a few years ago. They've just been a poor franchise all around, and you got to pay your guys, man. You got to keep your quarterback happy. What's the point of hyping him as Joe Scheisse, Joe Burr, if you can't keep him happy and give him his number one target? He shouldn't be playing, Jamar Chase shouldn't be playing this season without a new contract. That's flat out embarrassing. He needs his money. He deserves his money. For the Browns, move on time. It's time to move on from Deshaun Watson. Unfortunately, with all the guaranteed money, it's hard. But with the recent allegations, I don't see a way he isn't suspended next season. In the offseason, he's not going to get investigated right now, I think, in season. But as we move into the offseason, April, March, I think he will get suspended. And I think that will be the time the Browns have to move on. Unfortunately, I don't see them putting Jameis Winston out there and hoping he can lead them to the playoffs. But eventually, it is time to move on from Deshaun Watson. For the Cowboys, I got just keep swimming. You know, Dory from Finding Nemo, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. That's what the Cowboys need to do. Yes, you unfortunately had a bad loss yesterday, but you got to keep your head above water. You got to keep swimming. You got to keep going. The NFC, you can strike anybody. You can beat the Bucks. You can beat the Eagles, the Lions, the Niners on a good day. I know it's crazy what I just said, but you can beat those teams on a good day, man. You just got to keep swimming. Keep your head up and just don't fall underwater. For the Broncos, I got Burden or McMillan. Bo Nix, man, he hasn't looked good so far. But, you know, could it be the lack of receivers he's got? I mean, he's got Cortland Sutton, but outside of that, he doesn't have a top guy, a big-name target. And not everybody needs one, but a young quarterback, I believe, needs a target. Bryce Young doesn't got it, but CJ Stroud does. He has Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins. You know, what am I looking at, dude? I mean, Caleb Williams got targets. Like, you're going to have to give your guys some guys with names, man. And I'm not saying washed-up guys with names, but Cortland Sutton is one of those guys to have for sure, and either Tate McMillan or Luther Burden is that guy you draft in April. For the Lions, I got NFC Championship appearances, or more. You know, if I could add five more, if I got two more letters and make it a five-word sentence, I'd say or more because this team has Super Bowl appearance potential, or they could even win it. But I got them still going to the NFC Championship, even after the Bucks lost. They're still a good team. Aiden Hutchinson is that guy. Amon-Ra St. Brown showed up. Like, there's no worries. There's no reason to panic, even after losing to the Bucks. For the Packers, I got true love soon. Everybody needs true love in their life, you know. And for the Packers, they need Jordan Love back. And it's true. And that's true love, dog. They need him back. But, you know, they stayed above water. They floated above water versus the Colts yesterday with Malik Willis. But Jordan Love is still needed to do anything in this packed NFC. But, yeah, just true love is coming soon, though, man. He's close to coming back. As for the Texans, I got maybe Chiefs kryptonite. What I saw from the Texans last night is they have everything in their power. They have everything to dethrone the Chiefs. They got the great offense, a good rushing attack, and they have defense that can get pressure. They got two great DNs, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. I mean, dude, they have, in my opinion, everything that needs to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They will end up coming here late in the season, so that is a great test for them and the Chiefs.
If they can upset the Chiefs at home, if they can compete in the cold on the road, then they for sure can be the kryptonite in January. But the hopes is that they can compete versus teams like the Ravens, Bills, and Bengals to really prove they could be the Chiefs' kryptonite. As for the Colts, I got Lock in A-Rich, nicknamed Anthony Richardson. I got A-Rich for him, just to make it a little shorter. He needs to lock in, man. Three interceptions yesterday versus the Packers. For the Colts to do anything right this season, Anthony Richardson needs to be locked in. He was halfway locked in, I think, versus the Texans, and they competed. I don't think he was really locked in for the Packers, and in a game Jordan Love plays, they would have got blown out, in my opinion. But, yeah, Anthony Richardson just needs to be more consistent, and the Colts team can be good, but who knows, man? For the Jags, I got one word. I got embarrassing. So far, the Jags has just been embarrassing, man. You lost to the Dolphins last week. I mean, nobody really expected you to win, but you got embarrassed versus the Browns. You know, you only lost by 5, but your offense only put up 13 points. They look scrambled out there. They look lost, and I don't like that for a team that has a chance to be a wild card team, man. A team that was just a wild card team 2 years ago. You know, that's not good. For the talent you got on offense, for the DNs, you got Trayvon Walker, Joshua Hines Allen. For the guys you got, you need to be better, man. So I got embarrassing for them. For the Chiefs, I got someone got to separate. If I could add more words, I'd say someone got to separate outside of Rashee Rice. Because when I look at Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, none of these guys have really got open these last 2 weeks. You play the Falcons on Sunday, man, and they got a good secondary. A.J. Terrell, like I said, Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons. There's a good chance Rashee Rice is limited on Sunday. So who's going to step up? Who's going to get open? Because they can get pressure too. So what are we going to do? You know, Isaiah Pacheco's injured. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. You got Samaje Perine. You got Carson Steele. You're not going to be able to sign somebody and get them in the game plan and playbook fast enough for them to play and be something and have an impact on Sunday, like Kareem Hunt or Dalvin Cook, whoever you want to sign, man. So somebody's got to separate Sunday and for the season to be a success and get a three-peat. Somebody outside of Rashee Rice, it could be a trade later on. It could be somebody on the team right now. Somebody outside of Rashee Rice has to separate themselves and get open. Next up, I got the Raiders. Hop on Max. Dude, what I said in a prediction, if Max Crosby is good, this Raider team is good. And guess what was happening yesterday? He gave a Defensive Player of the Year type game, had 2 sacks, 5 pressures, 3 or 4 tackles for loss, pass deflection, and they hopped on his back defensively, and he's led them to a win. Davante Adams showed up. When Max Crosby does good and he leases off this defense to do good, everything falls behind, and they won yesterday big. For the Dolphins, Tua show up. I know he's injured. I know, but once he is healthy, you could replace Tua with any other quarterback. Regardless, Skylar Thompson or Tua, somebody's got to show up. This offense is too talented to constantly be just small, just to get big, bro. Like, it's ridiculous. The words can't describe what the Dolphins do in prime time. Something's got to change. If it's Tua, Skylar Thompson, Mike McDaniels, Tyreek, whoever is the one just not showing up on primetime games and big games, they need to stop that, and they need to show up. So, yeah, for the Dolphins, I got Tua show up. Whoever QB, like I said, needs to just show up in big games. For the Vikings, I got Justin Gattas. For Vikings are one of those teams out there that aren't really a stacked or good roster, you know. You don't got to be stacked, but they really don't got a good roster, man. J.J. McCarthy out for the year. You know, once you have an elite player like Justin Jefferson, if he plays good, guess what happens? There's a good chance he plays great, you win the game. Guys like Justin Jefferson can play good in losses, but when they play great, good chance you win that game. Or you have a chance to win that game, and that's what they did. Sam Darnold equalized off the opportunity Justin Jefferson gave him, and they took the dub yesterday. For the Pats, I got May or death. What's the point of starting Jacoby Brissett when you got Drake May? Jacoby Brissett hasn't done nothing to prove that he is worth starting over Drake May. And that's why I got death there, because your season's dead with Jacoby Brissett or not. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to make the playoffs, so why not give Drake May a shot? For the Saints, I got forgive Derek Carr. All summer, me included, a lot of NFL fans were laughing at Derek Carr getting another chance to start in New Orleans. But 2 games in, he looks like his 2016 form, his what people say is prime form. And a lot of apologies are going around, especially on Saints Twitter. All they want to see is good football getting played. All they want to see is wins and a playoff appearance. And Derek Carr, if he keeps this up, will deliver that for Saints fans. For the Giants, I got Dable and Jones gone. And here's the thing. I used that and symbol
I didn't use the word and, so I still got three words and just one symbol in the sentence, so forgive me. But yeah, there's a possibility we're looking at week 10 and Brian Dable gets fired. And it's a wide known thing in the league that Daniel Jones is getting shipped out at the end of the season. I'm not saying it's Brian Dable's fault at all, but he might just catch a stray with the Giants organization because they're just tired of seeing losing. They're just tired of losing. So Brian Dable might get caught up in a mess. He might get caught up in a sweep with Daniel Jones and they might get shipped out packing. For the Jets, I got keep Rodgers untouched. If the Jets are only as good as Rodgers' health is. If he's unhealthy, if he's limber, if he's just not 100%, they're not going to be 100% at all. I don't care. You can run the ball. They just haven't been good at running the ball yet this season. You're going to have somebody's got to throw the ball right to Garrett Wilson. This team is just too good to just have Aaron Rodgers not be healthy. They need him. He's the backbone of this roster. They can't depend on Mike White, Tyrod Taylor, whoever. I think Tyrod Taylor's a backup. You know, you just can't depend on Tyrod to get you to the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers needs to stay untouched, and he needs to stay healthy. For the Eagles, I got run, baby, run. You got Jalen Hurts. You got that same good old line, just minus Jason Kelsey. And you got Saquon Barkley. You just need to run the damn ball, man. Establish the run and do it. And I think they do it tonight on Monday Night Football. For the Steelers, I got find George Pickens. He is wide receiver one there. He is the truth. He is, I think, the lifeline of this offense. Regardless if it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, their goal is to find George Pickens. For the Niners, I got health or death. Well, I mentioned earlier in the pod how George Kittle and Nick Foles both went to the locker room at some point in the Vikings game. Christian McCaffrey's already out for 4 weeks on the IR. This team needs to stay healthy. You want a Super Bowl, you need to stay healthy. A lot of people believe if Dre Greenlaw doesn't pop his Achilles coming off the sideline, they win that game. And they could have. But guess what? It was health or death in that game, man. Unfortunately, they end up dying and they lost. And that's going to be the same thing this season. You're going to need to stay healthy or it's a dead season. For the Seahawks, I got depend on capitalized WR lowercase s. Depend on wide receivers. Just yesterday, DK Metcalf and JSN both had dominating games versus the Patriots that led to a win. Geno threw over 300 yards, and they looked impressive. They couldn't run the ball, but they damn did look impressive, man. And that was even without Tyler Lockett popping off. You have a great trio down in Seattle, so why not depend on them? They are the lifeline of this offense, and I would say the team, because if they don't show up, good chance rest of your team didn't show up, and you probably lost that game. For the Bucks, I got go shock everyone. They just shocked Detroit, and they have potential to shock everybody in the league. They eventually play the Chiefs. I'm confident that we very well could lose that game. But who knows? But for the Bucks, I do have go shock everyone. You have the talent, you got the tools, you got the coaching to go out there and shock everyone. They are a team that could be in a wild card, and we don't even think about them possibly making a Super Bowl in hell. We're sitting there at the end of the NFC Championship game like, damn, the Bucks are in the Super Bowl. They could be one of those wild card teams or division winners that we don't believe in. But yeah, I got the Bucks as go shock everyone. For the final two teams, I got Titans. Mayo boy stinks. And this ain't racism towards white people at all. But everybody knows Will loves him some Mayo. But he stinks, man. He's not a good quarterback. I don't think he's worth keeping. And I think the Titans 0-2 right now are going to be in top 5 contention. And why not? Hook him, baby. Go get Quinn Ewers. I would love to see him as a Titan. I think it's worth it. I don't think it's worth keeping Will Levis for another year. This is his make-or-break year. If he can't make it, you got to break it up, dog. Go get yourself Quinn Ewers or hell. But put on your AP, and let's start singing Perfect Timing in hell. Maybe go get Shedeur Sanders. Who knows? But Tennessee needs a new quarterback by next year. Lastly, I got for the Commanders, just keep hope. You're 1-1 right now. You're not going to make the playoffs, but you just got to keep hope. You got to hope Jaden Daniels looks good. Got to hope that Dan Quinn have some brains, and you gotta hope you look good. That's all that matters, is that you develop, look good, and rebuild for next year. And that's just the thing. Just keep hope. Just don't want to have a hopeless season like you have had in the past. You want to just have a good season. You just want to keep hope. And that's why I just got keep hope for the Commanders. But yeah, that's it for the three-word sentence. By, I'd say, mid-year, I might revisit this segment and give it another go, or for, like, other leagues. Like the NBA, I might do it for preseason, playoffs, midseason. But yeah, I'll probably revisit this for the midseason and playoffs. But yeah, shout out to Colin Coward. You know, this is I think his segment, so I'll give credit. You know, he might switch it up, he might do things different. But yeah, that was the three sentence or less segment for NFL teams as of now for week two. I'll revisit it later, of course. But yeah, this is the longest episode we've had, dog. And I'm proud of that because I felt like my notes were short and simple, but I was allowed to go in depth with it. But thank you guys for listening if you made it this far. On Friday, we'll look into another weekend of football, catch up on some MLB if anything changed, any news in between, any signings, trades, rumors. We'll look into that, man. But as always, always love and respect one another. Thank you guys for listening. Mwah, mwah. I'll catch you guys on Friday and just stay blessed. See ya.